Good morning. How are you today? Good? God is always good and he's worthy of our praise, and we thank God for another opportunity that God has given to us that we can come as a church, as a family of God, to worship him, to experience him, and also to see what God wants in our life. I thought it would be good for us to continue what we left last week. I think last week Jesus was inviting Peter and the disciples to have breakfast with them. I think Jesus invited them for breakfast. And then the passage today, it's a passage that speaks to us, that God wants to have a continued relationship with us, and he wants us to love him and also to follow him. Let's spend some time praying and asking God to speak to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are alone, not alone here in this sanctuary. We thank you because your presence is here. Lord, we pray that you will continue to minister to us, O God, through your word. We want to be disturbed by your spirit even today. Lord, we want to leave this place disturbed, O God, challenged, inspired to live a life for Christ and for him alone. And so, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you will take away every distraction that might come. We pray, God, that we will give ourselves to you, to love you, and to seek you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The passage today, it's a very powerful passage, as I told you last week. John 20 is, if you look at John 20, John finishes the gospel by saying that Jesus did, in verse 30 of John 20, he says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples. And in verse 31, he says, but these were written that you may believe. In other words, John finishes chapter 20 by giving a very evangelistic call. He's saying, come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He's worthy to be trusted. He's worthy, to be called as our Lord and our Savior. But then he moves on. He moves on to chapter 21 by giving us another invitation. It's not only trusting God. It is not only trusting God, but living a life for Christ. In other words, if you look at chapter 21, he's calling us to make a radical commitment. Discipleship should be a radical commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I feel very sad about churches today, because to become a Christian, it's a very easy process, right? We accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We come to church, we sing a couple of songs, we just praise God, and that's it. But if you look at chapter 21, John is emphasizing, that we need to be found living a life for Christ. We need to be found loving Christ, seeking him, and always following him. And I think, it is important for us to live a radical Christian life for Christ. And we need to ask ourselves even today, am I a true disciple of Christ? Am I truly following him? Because when you look at the scriptures very carefully, there are four types of Christians that are mentioned in the scriptures. If you look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 and 4, John writes this particular revelation, and he speaks about, a first kind of Christians. They have deeds, but they have actually fallen in their first love. They're involved in so many things. They're involved in every activity that is available. But then in verse 4, it says, God says, you've fallen in your first love towards me. In other words, you have been doing all these things. You started off well. You started off loving me. And because of the relationship, you were found involved in all these activities or ministries. But then as what has happened over time, deeds have actually taken over rather than loving God. And I think sometimes I see them as very dead Christians, right? Deeds have actually taken over rather than love for Christ. Secondly, if you look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul writes to this church and says, you are alive in Christ. You're a Christian. But then what is happening? You're bound in sin. You call yourself Christians. What's happening? But your life is contrary to our belief, to our trust, to our faith in God. And that's what Paul is writing. And thirdly, you see another kind of Christian in Hebrews chapter 10, if you read 22 to 25 onwards, you know, they are alive in Christ. They call themselves, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm alive in Christ. What happens? You know, they enjoy every blessing that God gives to them, but unwilling to share the blessings to others. Very self-centered kind of Christian. They are alive. God has blessed them tremendously in their life. What happens? But they contain their blessings. They don't want to release to love one another as Christ has loved us. And lastly, I like Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus. He writes about in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he writes that we are God's workmanship. In other words, he's talking about a matured Christian, a radical Christian, a Christian who's God's workmanship, who loves God, and who shares God's love to others. So we need to ask ourselves, you know, what kind of Christian am I today? Am I a dead Christian? I'm just, you know, my deeds have overtaken my relationship with God. My deeds have overtaken my love for God. Or am I a Christian who is alive in Christ, but my life is totally bad? It's contrary to the Word of God. And the passage today, it's a passage actually just challenges us. And when you look at the first thing, when Jesus meets them, he calls them for breakfast. And then immediately, if you read verse 15, Jesus is, after finishing breakfast or eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" I think all of us know this passage very well. Three times Jesus is asking Simon the same question. Do you love me, Simon? Do you love me, Simon? Do you love me? Can you imagine? I was just asking myself, you know, Jesus could have asked so many questions, right, to Simon. He could have said, "Simon, where were you? Where were you? You told that I will give my life for you. But where were you, Simon, when I was in the courtyard? I was questioned by the authorities. But where were you? You were not to be found. What happened to you, Simon?" You know, Jesus could have asked him so many things to Simon. But, you know, but when you look at the question, it talks quite a lot of things. You know, Jesus is very concerned about one thing. Do you love me, Simon? The Lord could have reminded him of the past commitment. But the Lord asked him this question. Do you love me? You know, when I look at this word, you know, I'm really fascinated. Because I think if our love for God is sincere, if we truly love God, let me tell you, every other things will come to place. Every other thing will flow beautifully in our lives. And so Jesus is asking Simon the question, "Simon, do you love me? Do you love me?" When my wife and I were in the States and I was doing my studies, my doctoral studies, I have a couple of friends who came with a lot of excitement. They came to the theological school, you know, with a lot of zeal, passion for Christ. They love God so much. But within, you know, as they go through the studies, you know, it can be a bit more tense. But then I realized that the focus shifts. They started off having zeal, a love for God. But along the way, I think there is a zeal, a passion, a love for knowledge. Knowledge overtakes their love for God. And it's very sad, you know, some of my friends even told me, you know, I don't believe the Bible totally. Can you imagine? I still have doubts. I still have questions about the authority of the Bible. They started off well. They came to seminary because of the love of God. They gave their lives to Christ and said, "Lord, I want to follow you." They started off well. But what has happened? Their knowledge, the zeal for knowledge has actually overtaken their zeal for love. And then Jesus comes back and says, "Simon, do you love me?" That's fundamental. That's important. That's the key to any other thing in our Christian life. Right? Do you love me? As I told you in Revelations 2:4, you know, the church in Ephesus, you know, they forgot the first love. They were good in their deeds. They were good in everything. And if you look at the word, the Lord says, I know your deeds, but you have fallen from your first love. Dear friend, let me ask you a question. You know, the time you accepted Jesus Christ, can you imagine? Can you recall the joy, the excitement, the love for God? Is it still there? Is it still lingering in your life? You know, do you have that kind of love? Is it growing in you? Is it growing in you? And as you look at this passage, and I was just, you know, reminded of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was a great missionary. He was a missionary to China. And so Hudson Taylor went to mission, started his work as a missionary in China. And then in one churches, when he came back, you know, for a period of time, he was invited for a church meeting. And so this was the introduction that was given about Hudson Taylor. And the man who introduced Hudson Taylor said, you know, this person, Hudson Taylor, has given his life to serve in the Orient, right, in that part of the world. And he said, because he loved the Chinese people. Hudson Taylor came to the stage. He said, you know, I think the service leader got it wrong. He said, I didn't go to the Orient because I love the Chinese people. I went to the Orient because I love Jesus. Period. I went to China because I love Jesus. And I think that is important for us, my friend. Do we love Christ? And is the love of Christ motivating us in our life? And when Paul writes to the church in Corinth, the church in Corinth had a lot of issues. And very interestingly, if you look at chapter 13, you know, Paul brings almost chapter 13 as an important point by saying, you know, you can do anything. You can speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but you do not have love. It's nothing in the sight of God. What is motivating us today? If the Lord would ask us the same question, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? You know, what would be the answer? And when you look at the passage also, you know, Jesus was asking Peter three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? I was looking at the word very carefully. The first two times Jesus used the word love, it is agape. In other words, it's a supreme love. It's godly love. You know, it's unconditional love. You know, that is the climax. But then Peter answers him by using another word for love. It's called a friendship love. He says, Lord, I friend you. But Jesus said, do you love me? Is your love forward towards me, you know, supreme? He says, no, I just want to be your friend. But very interestingly then, Jesus, the third time you'll ask him, do you love me? And the word love, now it's filio. In other words, do you love me as a friend? Right, as a friendly love. And Peter says, Lord, I love you as a friend. And I was asking myself why and all these things are happening. And then I begin to realize, you know, we might say that, you know, I love Jesus. But the love of God for us is much more greater. If I say, you know, I love God so much, but let me assure you, God loves us much more than that. He loves us much more. Our love for God should increase, my friend, because he loves us so much. And the Lord says, you know, feed my lamb, feed my sheep, tender. Right? Let me not go into all these words, but, you know, when I look at these words, feed them, you know, what is Christ saying? You know, if you really love me, what is happening? Right? The evidence of your love, you will respond to the people around. You will feed them. You will shepherd them. You will pray for them. You will watch over them, Peter. The evidence of your love, right? It will be shown to others. And that's why when you read 1 Peter and 2 Peter, you know, Peter is challenging the persecuted Christians who were actually scattered in Asia Minor. He talks about just hang on to God's love. Hang on to God's love. Don't give up. I know many of us are involved in various ministries. Praise God for the opportunity that God has given to us. But are we doing out of love? Is the love of Christ motivating us? Or are we just filling in the blank or filling the gap? Peter or Simon, do you love me? Do you love me? You know, John also writes in 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, he says, you know, if you see your brother in need and you do not go and help him, then where is God's love in you? You can go back and read that particular passage, 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. It's a passage in chapter 4. He also speaks about love. If God's love is in us, we will reach out to a brother who is in need. We will not be silent. I think God is calling us today. Today, we live in a world, in a Christian world, right? Christianity has become very easy. It's easy grace. Right? Just accept Jesus Christ. You're a Christian, that's all. No, my friend. It's just the beginning. We need to live a life just loving God. Loving God. That our love for Him should increase. Our love for Christ should be evident. The way we love, we care, we tender, we pray, we watch over each one of them who are around us. And that is the real test of our faith. Secondly, you know, when you look at the passage, Jesus is talking to Simon by saying, you know, Simon, do you love me? And Simon is answering. Secondly, in verse 18 to 19, you know, Jesus is talking about the death of Simon. Right? If you read, I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter will glorify God. You know, Jesus was talking about the death of Peter. In other words, you know, if you are a real, true Christian, not only you will love God, but you will glorify Him even through your death, my friend. That's what Peter, you know, did in his life too. Can you imagine? You know, I was just fascinated when I was reading this passage because, you know, Jesus had that kind of trust in Simon. Simon, I know you will die for me. Simon, I know, right, you will give your life for me. And I know you are going to glorify me by not only the way you live in this world, even when you die, you will glorify me. Your death will bring glory and honor to my name. Can you imagine? Jesus was able to see that in the life of Simon, my friend. He knew Simon will be faithful. When you look at the scriptures very carefully, you know, it is not only about, you know, just dying for Christ. Paul says in Philippians 1:21, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, Paul was saying, if I'm living in this world, I want to live for Christ. I want to live for His glory. If I die, it is going to be gain. It is going to be gain for God's glory. Let me show a couple of passages in John. In John, how do we reveal God's glory when the church is united? When we are united with one another in the church family. Right, John 17:22. It says, when we share that unity, we glorify God. When we are separated by one, my friend, we are separated, you know, then we are not glorifying God. You know, many times I ask myself, Christianity have been so long in this world, but we have not really made an impact. You know why? Because sometimes, many a times, I think it's that people can't see the unity in the church. There is a lot of divisions in the church, my friend. And secondly, you know, if you look at John 15:8, now we glorify God by bearing fruits. Are we bearing fruits? Can do we see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? Are we able to bring others into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Simon or Peter, if you look at the life of Peter, tradition says that Peter was finally crucified. You know, it was very interesting when he was crucified. You know, he didn't want to be crucified like Jesus. He said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like Jesus, like my master. And so they crucified him upside down. And tradition says his wife was just around him. And he told the wife, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Dear friends, are we glorifying God through the way that we live in this world? Are we bearing fruits? When was the last time we shared the gospel? When was the last time people were able to see Christ in us? Christ revealed in us? When was the last time we prayed for the church? When was the last time we prayed for one another? We prayed that God's unity, that God will strengthen us in our prayer life. John 14:13. We glorify God by our prayer life too. To be a true disciple of Christ, we need to be glorifying Christ. Not only loving Him, but glorifying Christ through our life and also through our death. And lastly, if you turn with me, you know, Jesus is asking Simon by saying, Simon, follow me. Right in verse 19, Jesus said, to indicate, then he said to him, follow me, follow me. Twice he says to Simon, follow me. In verse 21, he says, when Peter saw him, he said, Lord, what about him? And then in verse 22, the Lord says, you must follow me. I think very simple, Jesus was saying, you know, you need to just follow me, period. Wherever I go, you just come after me, right? Wherever I am, you need to be found. You need to be there. Just follow me, Peter. Just come behind me. You know, the problem in today's Christian world, we tend to look at others, right? If they're good models for us, that's fine. But sometimes, you know, we start comparing. And that was what was happening in Simon's life. You know, if you look at the passage very carefully in verse 20, Simon turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus was following them, right? And then Simon said, in verse 21, when Peter saw him, he said, Lord, what about him? Can you imagine? Jesus said, Simon, you just follow me. But Simon said, Lord, what about him? I think that's the problem, right? Many times we have that problem. Lord, what about him? Lord, I've been doing all these ministries for so long of a period. And I've been given my life, you know, for the church. What about that man? What about this brother who comes and just warms the seat? The Lord says, you know, I will deal with that person differently. But you just follow me. I think the problem in the Christian church is we tend to compare. What about them? What about these people? But the Lord says, you just follow me, Simon. Wherever I lead you, you follow me. Wherever I tell you, you go. I think that's what God wants us. And that is true discipleship. Don't look at another person, because God will deal with that person. God has a different ministry for that particular person. God has a different call for that particular person. Sometimes you may say, you know, I'm just carrying all the burden. Their burden is light. But God has a different call for them. It's a different gifting that God has given to them. We just follow Christ. Are we willing? Church, are we willing to follow Christ if the Lord calls us by saying, you know, this is what I want you to do? Are we willing? Or are we comparing? What about him? If you read Hebrews chapter 11 and chapter 12, chapter 11 is the hallmark of people, you know, who are so faithful. But if you read Hebrews chapter 11, and this is what, you know, the writer of the Hebrews is saying, you run the race. How do you run? In verse 2, he says, fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Just fix your eyes on Jesus, not anyone else. The author and finisher of our faith. Dear friends, let's not take our Christian life for granted. Let's not lean on to cheap grace. I think let us make a difference in this world. I was reading a quote by John Wesley, and John Wesley said this, and let me read his quote. He said, "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not a straw whether they are clergymen or laymen. Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of God on earth." Just give me 100 men, preachers, who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, I will shake the gates of hell. Let me finish up with this illustration. I believe many of us have read the life of Alexander the Great. I was just reading about, I'm not so familiar, but I was just reading about Alexander the Great. He was the king of Macedonia. He was a conqueror of the Persian Empire. You know, very powerful man, great conqueror. And some people say this truly happened in Alexander's life. You know, after a battle, Alexander was sitting in his room, and there was a complaint, and the complaint came to Alexander the Great. There was a complaint about a particular soldier, that he was rude, his behavior was contrary of a soldier. I remember serving in Singapore Army, and today it's a very special day in the life of Singapore because Singapore is 50 years old. How old is Canada? Hello? 145? Yes? Any takers for 145? We will review your citizenship. Right. Singapore is 50 years old. And so we are, you know, if you don't behave like a soldier, you are sent to a guard room. When I say guard room, it's pitch dark. You can't see anything. You can't even see your fingers. That's the way they discipline you. But fortunately, I did not go to the guard room. You know, Alexander, received that complaint about a soldier whose life was just contrary. He was not behaving well. So Alexander the Great said, I want to see that man. Come, bring him to my room. So the soldier was brought to Alexander. And very interestingly, the soldier's name was also Alexander. And Alexander, you know what he did? He told the soldier, looked straight into his eyes and said, "You either change your character, right, or you change your name. Either you change your character or you change your name." I think we need to ask ourselves, if Christ will look at us today, will he tell us, either you change yourself because you call yourself Christians, either you change yourself or you change your name? Are we truly disciples of Christ? Can we say, I love Jesus, I love God, I love him, nothing else but God. My love for God never changes. It's growing every day. Are we glorifying Christ the way that we live in this world, my friend, through our prayer life? By praying and encouraging people in the faith, are we glorifying? Are we glorifying God by bearing fruits, bringing others to the saving knowledge? Are we following Christ? Let's pray. Jesus could have asked Peter so many questions. Jesus could have reminded him about his words, that I'll give my life, Lord. Others may fail you, but I will give my life. Jesus could have recalled all these incidents. But no,
asked him a question, "Do you love me?" That's the key, my friend. Do we love Christ today? And Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" You know why Peter cried? The passage says that Peter was upset. The real meaning, Peter was just upset about his life. He was not upset with Christ. He was upset about his life. But his love for Christ was not really there. How are we today? How much do we love Christ? Do we glorify Him through our prayer life? Do we glorify Christ through our unity, praying for one another in the church, encouraging one another, helping one another, ensuring there is unity, there is harmony, there is oneness in the church? Do we glorify God by bearing fruits? When was the last time your friend said, "You know, you're a good Christian"? Do they know that you're a Christian? Are we following Christ wherever He leads us? Are we just looking around and saying, "Lord, what about that person?" God, we thank You for this day that You have given to us, O God. Lord, in the scriptures we read that You are searching for people who will be truly Your disciples. Lord, in the Old Testament we read that you were searching and You found none. Lord, help us to be Your true and sincere disciple. Help us to love You. Help us, Lord, to glorify You through our lives, O God. If we need to die for You, help us, Lord, to die for Christ. Help us, Lord, to simply follow You at Your command, at Your word. We thank You, Lord, because we have the Holy Spirit in us, the Comforter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.